Song of Solomon, Tape 3, Rest and Fruit.
Turn again, please, to the wonderful Song of Songs. And our prayer continues to be that the one that you seek and the one in whom you delight, that he'll suddenly come to his temple. As we come to look again at the Word of God and trust him to clinch in our hearts the burden that's on his heart, I remind you of that principle that we can never take for granted and we cannot live without, that indispensable principle of all Bible study, helpless dependence, childlikeness, total reliance upon God's Holy Spirit. This is His Bible. He inspired it. He breathed it, and now He desires to breathe on it again. He's as real in our hearts, and He desires to breathe on His Word and make it vital, make it live. And so once again, we come as little children. All of the study notwithstanding, all of our meditation, all of the way we've tried to put things together, all of that is nothing if God Himself does not speak and unveil His Son. And so we need to trust Him. Let me give you a Bible verse from Song itself to introduce this principle. Now, I'm taking it out of the context of song, but I am leaving it in the context of Scripture. In other words, by isolating it from this particular passage, maybe I've done a little violence to the particular context of song, but it is true in the balance of Scripture. It's from chapter 5. And verse 6, remember yesterday we discussed when the groom came knocking on the bride's door and how perhaps at that time she was resting more in her rest than in her groom. And anyway, the Lord had revealed to her that she was His garden and He would never leave His garden and He was there. But for a season, she lost the sense of His presence. She learned later she had not lost His presence, but only the sense of His presence. And when she ran out in the dews and the damps to show that He was still there, He called to her. Chapter 5, verse 6. She's outside now. She's out seeking Him. My heart went out to Him as He spoke. That expression. And it's our prayer this morning as we trust the Lord to clinch the message of His heart, that our hearts would go out to Him as He speaks. And even though at that time she lost the sense of His presence, He was still there, He was still speaking, He was still calling, and something was in her heart moving. My heart went out to Him as He spoke. So with that in mind, let's pray and ask God to make that so real in us. Our Father, we thank You so much for Your Word, and we have sensed so often how our heart goes out as You speak. And so we would ask You to speak again. Continue to draw us. Suddenly come to Your temple in a life-changing way. We desire once again to behold the beautiful face of our groom. We ask You, Lord, this morning as we meditate again in Your Word, that You would clinch in our hearts the message that You have for us. We know if we see the Lord, we'll be like Him. And so show us, we pray, that transforming vision of our Savior. We thank you we can count on you for that, and we just pray as we touch on these wonderful verses in the third stage, verses that are so precious and that we know so little about. Will you please speak? And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brothers, once again, I know we've been together session after session, and it's not like I'm in Newport and have to give a big review. I'm so used to meeting a week apart and reviewing. That's a big part of my teaching. But I do think it's important to get back into the flow. And so though you've heard it, let me stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And let me just go over again the thrust of what we've been looking at. The Song of Songs is the final book in the poetry section, and it brings us, I believe, to experience or to see God's heart on the climactic redemptive experience. This is where He wants us, each one of us. The climax of the redemptive experience is your love affair with Jesus. Is my love affair with Jesus. It's intimate union with the bridegroom lover of your soul. It's relationship to Him. That's what God is working in our hearts, and that's where He's bringing us. And in this marvelous book, that is the climax of the experience. And as I suggested, this is a love story on two levels. It's a love story of two worlds. It's heavenly love illustrated by earthly love. And although we have been focusing on the heavenly side, I pray that God in His grace would allow us to embrace these great things. You're the groom in your relationship with your life partner. You're the initiator. You're the one that draws her. She's your garden. You're to enjoy her just as she is. And all of these wonderful truths, God desires not only that they're true in our union with Him, but that they're true on the level of earth. The song begins with chapter 1, verse 2. That sigh, that desire, that longing of the bride. May He kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Your love is better than wine. She experienced this great desire. She had tasted the world. She had tasted the love of the Lord. And she had chosen the love of the Lord. And now she just desires that He would continually express His love over and over again. She knew to enter into that union that it was not in her. If she was to taste of that love, she had to be drawn into it. You realize, brothers, that our running is contingent on His drawing. That's not just some pious phrase. That is a blessed reality. What is my hope for a victorious Christian life and intimate union with Him? What is your hope for a victorious Christian life and intimate union with the Lord Jesus Christ? And I think the answer is this. I have a wooing Savior. And you have a wooing Savior. He's always wooing. He's always drawing. He never stops. Don't you love a love affair on the level of earth where the husband never stops wooing his wife? Even as that marriage gets on in years and turns gray, even then, the husband is to draw and to woo the wife. At any moment in your life, at any moment in my life, when you feel like your love for the Lord is growing stale or growing cold. In that moment, you can look into the face of your groom and say, "Draw me, and we'll run after thee." He never stops wooing. He never stops drawing. And the bride began to experience this. Now, in our look at this book, I've tried to point out what many commentators have seen. This is not my bright idea. God's people through the years have seen these three stages. Chapter 2, verse 16. "My beloved is mine, and I am his." And in the beginning of the drawing, as we enter into union, it seems to be so self-centered in a sense. It's my interest in him. She claims him. She seeks him. She finds him. She clings to him. She holds on to him. She wants to eat in his pasture. She wants to rest. It seems like it's all about her. And she's constantly cutting herself down in this first section. She has low thoughts of herself. She thought that she must be beautiful to be loved. She had to learn. She had to be loved to be beautiful. It's not the same thing. And God began to teach her as he drew her, this groom. That first characteristic, as I suggested in the first stage, is light. It's revelation. It's discovery. It's understanding. It's illumination. "Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth." And every time he kissed her, her eyes opened wider in amazement, and her mouth opened wider in amazement. And she found a world she never dreamed was there. And God kept showing her and showing her and showing her, kissing her over and over again. We won't review the 10 ways her eyes were open. Stage 2, chapter 6, verse 3. It's not now, "He's mine, I'm his." It's now, "I am his, and he is mine." It's his interest in me. It's no more about her interest in him. There's a little bit there. But now it's his interest in her. "I am my beloved's." As the revelation, as insight, as light was characteristic of the first section, I tried to show you that I thought, with the light I have presently, that surrender was the great characteristic of stage 2. When we closed last evening, we were looking at the chief story section, which ended chapter 3, 6 to 6, 10. Glancing at these verses, chapter 12, "Garden Lister, my garden, a spring, 15, a fresh spring, is God's pride, come garden, my bride, before age, being given to be dinner. Discovers gallows of things of wing by turn from the item of something active in love, and he has his gardener. I'm his and that of in the really on when got that so one she near suddenly he's me lead up. And so is this where 4 6 wind and come wind of the south may my outer let it sweat it may love the cause and the voice. And noodles come spatter and goes in the as long as he had. When we called evening, I was showing you, I had taken her to a new level. He was there, clung her right, but now her doesn't there. Lost remember that as she meditated on all of a sudden, she was not long where he's heard. The new express his temple, and then I went with a little mischief. He's in his temple, in his garden. Of it gone, beautiful. My, I know where he is. Our then, so the last just climax spirit, 6 verse in the end of the book. This is chapter 10, my beloved, and there's me. I see this, that I, it's all about her desire. me. I told him this verse to bring the he is going to learn a section tomorrow. And we'll develop it on. Live actually on her. He is her. All this he had known beauty mending in her was he had was his drug. Him and her grip on him and her desire for him seemed to do what she beloved is the desire for in this stage, two words that saw God stage one it was rage to thunder I'm rage to word rest and fruit at least ill metaphor the first one her sin in the second that is or, but so set three here there's this shoe told this glad I'm starting to read here this son chapters and let us go in us in the night early let us see if our buddy hey have a little hey for our time fill that on over action their full city bride is in the room and it's all we now it's all we it's illustration of the clear thing but we home now says the priest who preached go home like rivers name one sure you have food five and you got to make sure it comes from chapter verse 3 chapter 3 4 scarcely when I think so low unto him would let until to my mind into the room can see there 4 5 or singing that singing was not necessarily healthy six there's a to cling the Lord created ask my for Bible path at a certain point with she on the way. Their union did not rip. She was willing to suggest way to the chloral long way. Has ever heard that every day will be gone. If I don't hold day, whole day's gone up, I'm not going to wait for wrong that your union is grip. Then you're I got in my ship if I or to be generous toward the Lord in the wrong I not in fellowship must not bread the sun for any gathering saint or weary with struggling devotion. Am I speakership against me, God? I'm saying those things in the relation. I with his hand and my him. On his I had a wonderful time I'm past it. It was great swimming in me why I can't swim and never be a swimmer. Just ball beginning. He bought ship in way that I we trying to can't breathe. I'm trying to breathe. There's the how this time. And I'll tell you one of the many. And that is, I have I with my and I like time you might throw me up. They're not trying to pass this situation. So pulls me up. Folks are taking using this whole thing because it's to learn to trust the water to hold me up. And the illness is the work of will hold are fit for. And trust up, God uses it. Neglect fellow gods to hold finished Christ up. Trust that or use that make us to take us in the first sect. The bride was healthy, oriented on. But notice Anderson 3, 8 verse called the will of on her below. Oh, a pity on her above it. Meaning better, cut the least it any. That he's going to slip and be gone. She has it on her bloody the way it's worded. This thing up on her hot eyes. Who would it said? Who is out of the path? Who's this coming in with the ball? Who are the guards being up? Who's this come from there? Leaning on, I think, the most sights in the of who has and to have become the law. What a testimony that is. Sometimes see how the wilderness stage is still unconnected, but their foot, as he said. I would do it. Showing you that these. I don't know the rest of you, Reverend, but I know he meant some will. You've set your song. You test down cheek, painful, all confidence down the family wilderness. Hey, what the unfold rest as a leaning on of the furnace smells some enemy. Glorious testimony. There's a dear brother that I would every day. It's not a few exceptions. 37. he agonizes. I tell you in him, in the life and in the family, what I'm out of and leaning. What book is this safety? This ride is not anxious and spread as she's more, and every day she's to love him. In chapter 8, 7, we learn on his name, his able to must love these, the tall love, his love, his name, chapter 8, seal up as a seal on the arm. That shall rule as the gulls are a corpse of him, and walk when neither flow from the sub is out with us. Or so on the honest wedding band, said, or the Savior. Ring, me, ring, hear her heart, pickle, and him, she, clingish, and let go of him. It's about his, and all I know the whole strength is that. Won't let go. Once death has, and she's of his soul, it has no, no like release. Deep verse water, expression of the deep water, but a flint and so on. And she is there, no, that her love has expressed to her, and she just so said, oh, and not remember, I don't mean that this love to us, your needs, soul, he heal heart, to know that is death, to tell her. No, amid deep the waters get. Water not old enough that she know her. The groom has to keep thee. Needed she only her will on the picture down in the only earth. But God's love, there is no hope expression. Not even book of one can act love for the true man. And the recall you even finite. Is you. Nothing that. Tries to strong this there's a thing can in loves knit love and infinity can measure the intensity of that all the love that you think on put out of a love life, all the loves all that of that for all and have for all the love that others all of that for brother and all the love that neighbors have for neighbors, all the love for you can find in one of love with that. For a moment, free being as every other, the age of his, and the age that it will fall in. I'm sorry telling you, I had to be illustration, because he's got an infinite, John's his soul. He as much as loves God. Love. It's within the intense love of an essence, it's an absolute. Mean by that, it's never in this moment. When you have more a beer, he won't love you one drop more of your community. Third believe that dawning I will change water quench. Don't want to be drunk. Because love is so that you can't be that he has for us. He has for him. Trust in some cover. That thick rest settled on staying on you. We're forgetting that. He's at. Look at how the third section begins, verse 4. Come room in the covered in the begins. This is his heart will give to the air and praise and some freaking middle time. My mother's her. She's the bad boy. And called her blessed. The queen also. And they said, great, but as secure as army banner down to the tree. To see why the plume before her will set the noble people. Come back, oh shoot. Come back that we may gaze. Jesus, to dance the praising my God, your in the middle of that sudden looking at her, and in time may look begin to look at her, and all of a sudden so do the people, and all of a sudden this prayer and everything drop open her eyes. She's not to look, she's not a blessing, she's not an influence, buddy. This is what like the word of when the groom prays. She's fair hair. Not to her. Not saying that. He's not saying, I know you're swarthy and sin-stained, but I can be gracious to you. He's not beautiful. They bar, they refute it. What a rare stand. This who's the dawn. Full of moon. Moon. Not light. It's old light. It's from the sun of itself. It's barren. It's nothing. It's cold. But the groom has transformed the bride. when the bride was describing the groom. I jotted down all of everything the bride said about the groom, and I came to one conclusion. So many of the descriptions have to do with his face. So amazing. She could not have described him that way if she had been not looking full in his beautiful face. You know where her focus is. That's why she has dove's eyes. You got to read Watchman Nee on the dove's eyes. That marvelous section he has. But bride is not here. She's not hanging jewelry all over herself. She's not being pierced in strange places and covering her flesh with fragrances. She's not doing that. She's just listening to the groom as he says, "You are so beautiful. You are so fair. You are so lovely." And everybody goes, "Wow, look at her. She is really something." And they start looking at her. An amazement. Now, what is she doing? Verse 11. She went down to the orchard of nut trees. Now, I know there's different views of this. Frederick Krumacher. I enjoy reading him. But I think he missed it here. He thinks that's a bad thing. She's backsliding now, according to Mr. Krumacher. I think it's a normal thing. I think on the level of earth, as we look at it, it's very unspiritual. If the record said she had been fasting for 40 days and just finished her fast, or she had spent one night a week for 3 weeks in a row in an all-night prayer meeting, or if the record had said she had just come back from her third missionary tour, or if the record said she just finished writing a devotional book, or if the record had said she had been faithful for a year and a half in mentoring somebody who needed mentoring, then I would say, "Let me gaze at you, Shulamite. You are some person. Wow. What a spiritual person to be able to do all that." But it doesn't say that. It says she went down to gather nuts. And it's so every day. That is so natural. She's just living. And everybody's eyes are open wide and amazed at what they see. Chapter 6, please. Verse 12. Before I was aware... She wasn't even aware of it. She didn't even know it. Everybody's looking at her. Everybody's got their eyes open wide. She doesn't even know it. Before I was aware, my soul set me over the chariots of my noble people. Come back, O Shulamite. Come back, that we may gaze at you. She's just living. Getting his compliments. She's just entering into their union. Everybody's looking at her. This is so beautiful, pure as the sun. This is like the full moon. Programs. No gimmicks. No how-to tapes. No how-to books. No devices. Everything spontaneous. She's just living, and all of a sudden, because of her union with the groom, she has become attracted to everyone. Now, I believe it's on purpose that God has saved verse 13 to stage 3. You say, well, the Song of Solomon is about the king and the Shulamite woman. This is the only time she's called Shulamite. You don't find that in the early chapter. It's not until the end. She's called Shulamite. And I told you that Shulamite is the feminine form for the same name. In chapter 1, verse 3, she cried out for his name. His name was like oil poured out. She wanted his name. And now she's got it. And she's like him. And she has his name. And she has his nature. And she has his character. And now she is Solomon. She's become like him. She's like the moon. The full moon. There's no eclipse here where the earth gets in the way. This is the full moon. Please, at chapter 6:13. Come back, Shulamite, come back, that we may gaze at you. Why should you gaze at the Shulamite as at the dance of the two companies? What does that mean, at the dance of the two companies? I have a footnote in my Bible, and it says, I can't pronounce the word, but Mahanaim. Do you have that in your Bible? Mahanaim. Well, I'm glad it's there, because now I have a reference. I can go back in my Bible to Genesis 32. I'll just tell you the story. You'll remember it. Jacob has run from the Lord and from his brother for many years. He's about to meet Esau on the next day. He sends his family away. He's going to be alone, and while he's alone, the Lord's going to wrestle him. You remember the story? Well, before the wrestling match, he camps his tent because he wants to be alone. And he opens his eyes, and there are others around him. He camps smack dab in the middle of another camp. Believe it, he rubs his eyes. And they're angels. Angels, every place, all around him. And so he named the place Mahanaim, or whatever, however you pronounce it. Two camp. Camp you can see with these eyes. There is a spiritual camp as well. Back, come back, O Shulamite. Let us gaze at you. She's so human. She's so divine. There's two camps. And they look at her, and she's just another person. But they keep looking. There's something about you that is so different. It's a glorious thing, brothers, when you just live in such a union with the Lord that everybody begins to look at you and gaze at you and say, there's something about you that's as pure as the sun. You're like, I know it's borrowed light, but you're like the full moon. And when somebody can look at you and have no other explanation for your life than God, there's something divine about you. And that's what happened to her. She has done nothing but relate to the groom, and she's been changed. She's been transformed. She's become Shulamite. She's become Solomon. She's become him. She's become the moon. She's become reflected light, reflected beauty, reflected glory. And now everybody's attracted, and everybody is looking at the mystery. And they see the two camps. They see the human side, and they see a divine side. This is the fruit of the third stage. You're in the garden, you're enjoying the garden, and all of a sudden you become an attraction. Before you're aware of it, without you knowing of it, unconsciously, you're on display. People are watching you. She's at rest, leaning on her beloved, coming out of the wilderness. She's so relaxed now. She's so beautiful now. With his beauty. She's not trying to put herself forward. She's out of the picture. It's all him and his desire toward her. All of a sudden something happens in terms of testimony, and everybody begins to gaze at her. I want you to hold those two thoughts, rest on one side and fruit on the other, being transformed into his likeness so that everybody is attracted. You to notice how the book comes to an end, and may God help us as we look at chapter 8. There's so much in this chapter I'm not qualified to set before you. I'm only beginning to see a few things here. But I'm quite sure of this, that the entire chapter is about the church. The entire chapter is about the body. The entire chapter is about the whole body of Christians. Chapter 8, verse 1, she talks about my mother, like a brother to me. Verse 2, I would bring you to the house of my mother who used to instruct me. She's so anxious. You know, I told you at the beginning that the mother's house is just a picture of the church, and she's so anxious to bring the groom to the mother's house. It's not the first time she's mentioned it. She's enjoyed such a union with the groom, she now desires it for the whole body. Sister book in the New Testament to Song of Solomon, I believe, is 1 John. The New Testament ends the same way with the redemptive experience, the climax, the book of fellowship, the book of union with the Lord. And that same burden is expressed in 1 John 1:3. What we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things I have written, that our joy might be full. And it's this person who is so united to the Lord that he looks around and he says, oh, I wish everybody could experience this. That would be the fullness of my joy. The climax of the redemptive experience is not only the book of song, but the last chapter of the book of song is what brings it to a climax. Commentators, as a rule, evangelical commentators, agree that the church is very prominent in this last chapter. Probably even up to the very end where you have those vineyards and some are serving by duty, and but she has a vineyard all her own and she's serving out of a union and so on. But I want you to focus, please, on verses 8 and 9. We have a little sister and she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we'll build upon her a palace of silver. If a door, we'll enclose her with boards of cedar. As the book, as the poem, as the song, as the message of God draws to a close, off with all this development and drawing and union and getting closer to the Lord and entering in and finally leaning upon Him and just becoming a testimony by doing nothing except going down to the orchard of nuts, all of a sudden, it can't stop there. Now she looks around and she says, I come to my mother's house. You got to come to the church. You got to come to the body. There's a little sister. She has no breasts. She's not mature, see. She's undeveloped. She hasn't come to know what I've come to know. She's living in complete union with the Lord. And she begins to get burdened for those all around her. And she doesn't say, I have a little sister. But she looks in the eyes of her groom and she says, we have a little sister. Her burden now is for those who haven't entered in and who haven't experienced what she experienced. She wants to help, and so she says to the groom, what can we do? I've tasted so much. I've seen so much. I've experienced so much. You've done such wonders. I am now clothed with your beauty. I'm radiating you. But what about, she has no breasts. She hasn't entered in. She's not developed. They're immature. What can we do, Lord? How can we help? Now, no matter how you interpret the wall and the door, I'm not going to get into that because godly men differ. And when godly men differ, I don't know what to do. I try to find common denominator ground. If she's a wall, if she's a door, some say it's a good thing, some say it's a bad thing. Godly men on both sides. Forget the controversy because the answer's the same. However you look at if she's a wall or if she's a door, good or bad, what can we do for those who are immature? And I believe the answer is this. The only thing you can do, you can't make an immature person mature. A program's not going to help. You can't set up another program. You can't do what only growth can do. You can't mature the immature. The cure for immaturity is maturity. As the book closes, the bride who has come into intimate union asks the groom, "What can we do?" And he gives a double answer. I want us to look at the answer because that's how the book closes. And I'm suggesting that is the climax of the redemptive experience. So now let's try to answer the question. What can I do? We do. I don't mean I. What can we do? Me and the Lord, you and the Lord, we and the Lord. What can we do for that sister that has no breasts? And he gives a double answer. The first answer is in verse 9. If she's a wall, we'll build on her a battlement of silver. If she's a door, we'll barricade her with planks of silver. Now don't get lost in the word pictures. Don't try to figure out every little word. Get the principle. And I think what he's saying is this. The only thing you can do for an immature person is protect them. Protect them. You can guard them. You can watch over them. You can surround them. You can set up stations. You can help them. Guard them. But until they seek the Lord themselves, they're not going to get mature. That's the first part of the answer. What's the second part of the answer? Verse 13 and 14. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved. Be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountain of spices. Brothers, we're coming right to the end now, and I think this is God's final answer. Please pray in your heart that God will communicate this to you. This is so fresh to my heart. This is as fresh as this morning to my heart. Here's what I think it's saying. I know there are differences in those who say, who's speaking? Is it the groom? Is it the bride? Is it partly the groom, partly the bride? Everybody seems to guess at that, so I have a right to guess. I think the groom speaks in verse 13. I think the bride speaks in verse 14. What does the groom say in verse 13? And don't forget, it's an answer to the question, what shall we do for our little sister who has no breast? That's what he's answering. First part of the answer is, you got to support her, you got to protect her, you got to be there, you got to watch over her, you got to guard her. That's the first part. Second part is this. Now I'm going to speak, and I pray that it won't dishonor the Lord, but I'm going to speak as if I were the Lord. This is what I think he's saying. He's saying, my dear bride, you made a discovery because I drew you into it, and you discovered that you were my garden. Do you remember that, dear bride? Well, now, you must learn that even though that was personal, and I said, you are my garden sealed, you are my garden, my private garden, my rock garden, my only garden, my unique garden, my one and only garden, I got to tell you something. I have many gardens. Look at the text. I have many gardens. It's plural. You've longed to bring me to the mother's house. All right, I'll go to the mother's house. Your person. You, my garden. Concerned about those bad brothers who treated you so poorly and made you work in the vineyard. You're so concerned about those companion shepherds that were man-centered and they didn't feed you. You're so concerned about those watchmen that misunderstood you and mistreated you and persecuted you. so concerned about those daughters of Jerusalem that kept disturbing your rest. So concerned about that little sister that has no breast. So concerned about the caretakers of the vineyard who are working out of duty instead of out of union. You got a burden for the mother's house, and you're inviting me, come to the mother's house. You got to come here. You got to help these people. Some of them have not entered into this. Well, I want you to know, first of all, many titles in song for the church. There are the companions, and there are the shepherds, and there are the guardsmen, and there are the watchmen, and there are the caretakers, and there are the daughters of Jerusalem and the daughters of Zion. There's so many names for God's people. But the last name for God's people in this book is gardens. They're all my gardens, but they haven't come to see. They're all my gardens. And so, my garden, I'm placing you in my gardens. And the groom tells his bride, you want to know how they can be helped? I'm placing you in my gardens. That's their hope for maturity, that you're going to be there because you've become like me and they're now attracted to you and they see two companies and they don't understand it and they know that it's human, but they know it's divine. And you have become a radiant picture of me, a reflection. You're as pure as the full moon. You are my representative in the gardens. Verse 13, the groom says, my companions are listening for your voice. I don't know what you can do. You got to protect them, or they'll self-destruct. You got to watch over them. You can't mature them. You can't do what that little kid did with the flower. Grow! It doesn't work that way. That's what we try to do. Sometime I see some Christian, I want to shake them. I want to shake them. I want to say, what is wrong with you? Start seeking the Lord, but it doesn't work. So you got to protect them. You got to watch over them. You got to be there. You got to love them. And then he says, you're my garden. And here's my solution. I will put my garden in my gardens. And you will stand there as a radiant testimony, and they'll see two camps, two companies. That you will be the attraction. They're listening for your voice. And then he says, let me hear it. Let me hear it. Let me hear your voice as you talk to my gardens. And then the bride speaks. Now I know some have looked at this last verse and say, this is the verse that predicts the second coming of Christ. Make haste, be like a gazelle on the mountains. I don't have a problem with those who say that's the second coming. Wouldn't surprise me if this book on the climactic redemptive experience ended with, even so, come Lord Jesus. Maybe that's in there. But in the context, I don't think that's what this is about. I think he says, you got a burden for those who are not mature. Well, my solution is you and your relationship with me. And now it's become so radiant, I'm going to put my garden in my gardens. And they're listening for your voice. And you can tell them how you got there. Remember the tracks of the... Tell them. I'm listening for you to tell them. And then she remembers. Remember when I was in a box. Remember when I was behind a lattice enclosure. Remember when I didn't know I was your garden. And I remember what you did then. You came like a gazelle. Left over the mountains, came up to my little box, made a proposal, arise, my darling, my beautiful one. And I think the bride is saying this, I'll do it. I'll be your garden in your gardens. I know they're your gardens. I've looked at them harshly. I've been so angry at the daughters of Jerusalem and the brothers. I was angry at me. I was looking at them wrong. I never saw this motley crew as your gardens. But I know they are. And I know how you got to me. I know they're listening for my voice, and I'll tell them whatever I can tell them. But that won't bring maturity. Haste. Come, my beloved. Come to them like you came to me. I think that's how it ends. I think it's this great burden for the body that they would all come into this relationship. And he says, I'm going to leave you there as a living witness of what relationship can do. And she says, be there. Listen for my voice. I'll tell them. But all make haste, my beloved. Come like a gazelle. Do for them what you have done. As I understand it, that's God's heart in song. Father, thank you for drawing us into union with you. We know the frustration in our hearts. We look around and just long that everybody would know you as you've been so gracious to allow us to know you. Thank you for putting us in your gardens. Thank you that every individual Christian in your mind and heart is your garden. Make haste, beloved. Come as a gazelle. Come swiftly. Come surely. Draw them as you've drawn us. Draw me, and we will run after thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Thank you.